Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
All right, yes, it is. Thank you, Al's brother. I feel like the beginning of Jeopardy. Thank you, Al's brother. We are here to play the Wheel of Misfortune, and we know the way this works. We spin the wheel. We see what we're playing. There's a lot of different options, plethora of options. So let's stop wasting time here. Let's spin it and see what we're playing.
Thank you.
Jelly!
That is so obnoxious and so ignorant and unnecessary, quite frankly.
And it's foreign to me, the gold dust. Can you play just the sniff and the Jerry Mulls? Like...
Jerry!
Yeah, okay. Jerry's here. He's sniffing around. And
I guess so.
I was tipped off that Jerry might be a part of this because someone sent me a very rude note, just one sentence saying, don't be an idiot, and I have a statement. Because Jerry was famous for his opening statements back in the day, but we haven't really heard from him in quite some time. So let's get to his opening statement, then we'll get to the hot takes.
Jerry's been out of the opening statement game since my world-renowned semi-retirement kicked in. But I'm feeling frisky and in the mood for one more horny statement. And that's because Jerry's sniffing out an All-American Cup final. Nobody cares about the Canadian playoffs, and Jerry loves it.
That is a rotten human being. Right there.
It's bold. I'll give him this. He doesn't play he doesn't cater to anybody up here. He's on a Canadian show, and he allows his biases to ring true, man. He doesn't care for the Canadian playoff structure. He just doesn't, and he's sniffing out an All-American Cup final. So there you have it. Opening statement from Jerry. This is going to be fun. We haven't played this in a while. Let's get to the hot takes.
As much as Jerry and hockey fans around the world couldn't care less about the Canadian playoffs, Jerry knows who butters the bread on this stupid show. So here's some crumbs for you pigeons. One of the opening round playoffs in Canada will finish in a sweep.
Ooh, wow.
That's a take.
I'm going to go 65% of that happening. And you guys probably know which way I'm leaning towards that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you said it yesterday.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, I'm not going to get into but I just think there's a 65% chance of that happening. I obviously think Winnipeg by Edmonton could go 5 or 6 games, possibly 7. So,
65%, one of them is a sweep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Noodles, I feel like you're going to be closer to zero on this.
Yeah, I'll be 8%. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean I don't believe who I think will win. It's just I think, you know, you might get a goalie that stands on your head. You might get, you know, an off night. Like, there's a lot of things still to be determined. I mean, it could happen. There's no, you know, the way things look sometimes, and especially right now, absolutely. But I'm going to be low on it. It's still the playoffs. You're going to get the best of everyone. So I'm going to say 8%.
8%. Yeah, I'm going to be somewhere in the middle there. I do think there is certainly potential for both Toronto and Edmonton. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I think Montreal can sweep the Leafs. Not going to happen. Winnipeg can sweep Edmonton. Not going to happen. But I do think there's potential that both could end up in a sweep. Doesn't mean they both will, but I could see Edmonton running off quick, look at the way Winnipeg's playing right now. It's a mess. I'll say 25%. 25%. So I'm still leaning towards it going at least 5 games, if not more. But there's certainly a chance with the way these 4 teams match up right now.
Mac Jones will be the Week 4 starting quarterback of the Patriots when Tom Brady and the Bucs roll through Foxborough.
Yeah, that's a big one today, that Tampa will be in New England Week 4 Sunday Night Football. That is Brady's return to Foxborough.
Dude, I would do anything to go to that game. I would be there, and I know. What's the date?
It's week four, so it'll be end of September, maybe first weekend of October.
If I, any way I can go, Hazy, we're going.
I totally agree. Sunday night or two, we can get on a bird Monday morning and be back for the show.
No kidding.
Yeah,
great.
I totally agree. That's the regular season game of the year.
No kidding.
It's opening night too. It's a Thursday night. It's the Cowboys at the Bucks, which is a great call. Like that'll be Dak Prescott should be back, should be fine. Brady and the champs back down in Tampa, packed barn. This season's going to be awesome in the NFL because they are going to make it bigger and better than ever post-COVID.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be nuts.
Talk about a guy buying into the scheduling hype.
I love the scheduling hype. I love it.
Yeah, you're in full Joe from the Bridge mode right now. It's going to be the best season ever. Oh, my God.
I can't
wait
for it. NFL Network tonight. I'll be all over it. So Mac Jones, though, is the counter to Tom Brady week four at Foxborough.
14%. I think he's going to watch Cam Newton play this year. 14%.
So?
I don't see Belichick pulling that move. He's got to do a little bit of Mahomes, Alex Smith.
Jones isn't going to be Mahomes, but I know what you're saying in terms of.
Yeah, he's got to sit around and watch.
Yeah, earn it a little bit. Yeah. Belichick's an old school guy. I think he'll kind of bleed him into the lineup, too. Like, not opening night. I'm going to be low on this, too. I'll be 10%.
Well, and also, obviously they believe in Mac Jones, which they should. They better. They drafted him 15th overall. I mean, that's going to be a big moment, though. Do you want to put him in a position where you're up against Brady? You know, like, unless he wins the job out of camp. If he wins the job out of camp, it's his job. Like, then he's starting week one. Of course, he's going to be starting week four. But if he doesn't win the job out of camp and it's Cam's job, why would you switch by week four and say Mac Jones is the guy, especially with Brady in town? I'll say I'm going to go a little bit higher than you guys because he might win it out of camp. Like he's an older kid in terms of what he's done at Alabama, but I'll say 20%. 20%.
The next time Nate the Wild Thing Pearson comes up with the Jays, he'll be in the bullpen. Maybe he's like the real Wild Thing and he needs glasses.
I hadn't thought of that. Maybe Charlie Montoyo could play the role of Lou Brown and offer up that option. But Jerry's got him coming back up at some point, but as a bullpen arm, not a starter.
Ooh.
That's
I
a
don't see
spicy
this.
One.
Didn't this happen a few years back with Sanchez?
Yep, absolutely.
I just think this is different. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm going to say 25% that happens.
I'm low on this, too, because I think it comes back up when – they think he's ready. Like, they're not going to force feed him and rush him back up. Like, I think he'll be down there a little longer. Like, I'm low on this. I don't think he's going to be – unless you want to get him up and just protect him. Is that what you're thinking or
well,
Jerry's thinking?
Well, I'm just – I'm wondering if maybe it's later in the season now. You know,
right.
Like maybe he's got to go back and he's his arm is what it is. And maybe they've established a rotation. Maybe it gets to a point where they acquire someone – for the rotation before the trade deadline, and when he comes up, they look at it more as, you know, we need you out of the bullpen. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Until you establish yourself as a true rotation guy, the team's in it to win it. They might have to fill out their roster whichever way they see fit. But, listen, he is a starter. He has to become a starter for them. Like, that's what he's training to be. That's what he is programmed to be. So I'm kind of with you guys. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility, but it doesn't seem like something they've been overly interested in. They want him as a starting arm. They believe he's got the stuff to do it. I'll say 30%.
I'm 16%.
Okay.
What if John Tortorella or Mike Babcock are behind the NHL bench to start next season? Imagine Babs in NYC. Telling defensemen they can't play in the league while they're actually really good. Whatever, Babs.
Yeah, him in New York, that would not be a subtle reintroduction to the league. I think you could
I'm
going to
say 100% one of them are in the NHL next year. 100%.
I agree with you, and I'm 100 is a bit rich for me, but... You keep hearing there might be upwards of close to 11 teams that need coaches with the shuffle. And guys, you know, Arizona because Tockett's out, like what's going on with Blashill in Detroit, that type of... And there might be a surprise coach that gets let go because of things that go south in the playoffs. So I think it's close. I'll say 82% that one of them is in the show next year.
Yeah, I think it feels like it's more likely to be Tortorella, which is saying something, because he was employed like 24 hours ago, and Babcock's been out for a year and a half, give or take, because it's just such a weird vibe hanging around Mike Babcock and the amount of money the Leafs are paying him. So you know if the team's going to hire him, the Leafs aren't going to let him off the hook for you to pay him $600,000 to coach somewhere else. Like, you're probably going to have to pick up a large portion of the ticket, if not all of it. So I think that might shorten the list. They're both guys that are not going to take over a team that's awful. You know, like, they're not going to Buffalo. No. I don't picture that. You know, like, Babcock did it in Toronto. I don't see him doing it again. Tortorella's not the right guy for that. So you're also looking at a limited amount of options, and I think they're both kind of fighting for the same job. Wouldn't you say? Like, right. They're both kind of similar in terms of who they are and what they've done. But I'll say 75%. I do think it's likely because of the job turnover, like you suggested. I think it's more likely it's Tortorella. But the resumes speak for themselves. You know, like, they are good coaches, and they get jobs done, and they win games, and they turn around programs. That's what their history has been. So I'll say 75%.
Patrick Laine, whose constant whining has been driving Jerry nuts lately, will not have another season of 40 or more goals in his career. I used to be an offensive player. I hate hockey. Blah, blah, blah. Jerry,
Jerry. He hates on Patrick Laine. That's personal. Really? That's not professional anymore, Jerry. That's not how we roll here. But that's quite the statement. You know, this is a Laine. He's hit 40 before. He's been high 30s before. Came into the league, we thought this guy would rack up four or five rockets. If you don't hit 40, you're not going to win a rocket. And Jerry's saying it's not going to happen.
I'm low on this. Yeah. I think he's hitting 40. I, you know, you got to find, like Ray said, you got to find the right people to feed him. And the player has to be motivated. Team has to be. But I just think he's too good. Like, he has too hard of a shot. You got to place him in situations. We'll see
who
the coaches.
He's got to get to a situation where he's got a dynamic centerman, and this is a ridiculous thing of a want or a need for him. But if you found him with a Sidney Crosby type at 25 years old, that could say, listen, much like when I met Gary Roberts, I'm not Patrick Laine, but it's just a different voice and a different leadership role telling you how things work. That's what he needs, and I think he'll find it somewhere because somebody will take a chance. So I'm very low on this, 7%. Actually, I'll go 29%.
Oh, ooh. That's a quick turn, but I'm low on this as well. He's got too much talent. He has the ability to do it. It's not like you're picking some random third-line guy in the league. Do things have to break his way? Of course they do. Do I think it'll necessarily happen Columbus? Maybe not. But I wouldn't be shocked if in 3 years he's somewhere else and he's still 27, 28, and he catches a heater and boom, he scores 40, 41, 43, you know, whatever it is. So I'll say 10%. He's clearly in a bad place right now, and I don't think he's not going to develop into the best goal scorer in the league. Like, that was a legitimate conversation, which was worthy of a conversation when he came in. I don't see that happening. Like, Matthews is ahead of him. There's other guys in the league that are just ahead of him and better at scoring at him. At the NHL level, but he's still got all the tools. He just needs the toolbox. He needs a little help, a little luck. I think it's possible for him, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I put a percentage. I'm like 2%.
2%.
He's gonna hit it.
Okay, that's a lot of confidence. But I guess we're all pretty low on that. We all feel like, even with everything we've been talking about here with Laine, it's a matter of time before something connects for him.